Catherine texted a question. How do you recognize leaders today? Everyone claims to be a pastor or a prophet or has a ministry. Well, you recognize them depending upon what they are. You recognize a teacher by his teaching, whether or not it conforms to God's word, right? You recognize a prophet by his prophetic ministry. And biblical prophets just didn't tell the future. See, a prophet isn't someone who tells the future. A prophet is someone who speaks forth God's words, right? But it has to be God's words they speak forth, not their own. How do you distinguish when a prophet is speaking forth his own words or God's words? By whether or not it conforms to what the Scripture says. Not someone's creative interpretation of what the Scripture says, but what the actual text says. That's why I continually harp on this issue, the difference between the Greek and Jewish worldviews, right? Because the text means what the text meant when the original author wrote to the original audience, not what some creative 20th century thinker thinks it means today. So, we can see it in the gift of a giver, right? Does a giver give according to a biblical model, right? We have to measure the exercise one's gift by biblical standards, right? And by the way, she also adds, we should all be as patient and long-suffering and forgiving of leaders and others and safe place as a community to make mistakes and forgive as God does with us. Amen. Other comments?
What I wanted to go back to, by the way, all of this is so good. You know, you can talk for hours, but what I wanted to go back to was the Yeshua's life and the sacrifice of Yeshua. I had a very, very wonderful conversation in Israel with a very Jewish, Orthodox Jewish person regarding the idea of the atoning sacrifice of this guy Jesus. We don't sacrifice human beings and different things like that. This was a year or so ago anyway. The point was, I said, listen, you need to think about sacrifice as a metaphor. I said, you know, Yeshua was not literally sacrificed when he died. Sacrifice wasn't his death at all, frankly, it was his life. Yeshua, doesn't it say in the Jewish Encyclopedia, as it is guys, so that the death of the righteous atones the wicked? He says, yes, it does. That's a Jewish idea. I said, that's exactly what's happening here. Yeshua laid down his life in the same way the Levites lay it down. There's a level of purity, a level of living that Levi can't even go to his own father's funeral, or he becomes impure. I mean, these are sacrifices that people don't think about, but they are. Yeshua's life was way, way past that. You know, he didn't even get angry. He didn't sin once. He made those decisions. So his life, he was ecstatic. And this Jewish fellow said, oh my gosh, you know, I get that. I can see what it now means. Yeah, I was blown away. I mean, you talk about witnessing to Jewish people. You have to understand these concepts. So thank you. I just wanted to respond. This is incredibly important to understand.
Amen. Very good. Okay, Shabbat Shalom. Anybody else? Anyone else?
Is Paul in Romans 12 inviting us to present ourselves before the Lord as a Levite is being presented before the Lord? He uses the phrase in Romans 12 as the living sacrifice, and we already know what that is in the Peshat. But there seems to be a relationship, again, with this one who's being presented, hands being laid on, and the correlation with Korban. So, are we, as believers, to present ourselves to the Lord as the Levite is being presented?
Okay, great question. It's connected to the concept of corporate, the corporate priesthood of the Jewish people. Okay? When Paul speaks to us about offering ourselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice, of course we know he's speaking of a specific thing. But the idea of being dedicated to the Lord in the way the Levite was dedicated to the Lord is certainly a legitimate application of these principles. But you have to stop short of thinking of yourself as a Levite. You know? In other words, this is the problem in terms of the way Christians tend to look at the Scriptures. Right? They read a passage where Paul speaks of being committed to the Lord as a living sacrifice. Right? Well, the priests were in effect living sacrifices. If I offer my life up as a living sacrifice, that means I must therefore be a priest. So the next time I go into a synagogue, I'm going to identify myself as a Levite. Right? Well, that is not what Paul means. And in fact, the midrash, or the application of that principle to my life, if it compromises the integrity of the Peshat, it's a false application. In other words, the Jewish people as a people are called to be a kingdom of priests. Okay? A royal priesthood. A treasured possession of God. So all Jews, and this is something that we find in the rabbinic literature too, all Jewish people should think of themselves as priests when it comes to interacting with the nations and reaching out to the Gentiles generally, right? We have been called to be a priestly people. And that, in my opinion, includes believers in the Messiah. Believers in the Messiah are connected to the people of Israel and connected to their calling to be connected to a priestly people. Right? So yes, we should apply this sacrificial requirement to our own lives, but stop short of thinking that that makes us an actual priest. Because it doesn't. Good question. Any other comments? Yeah, Joseph has a comment.
Is there any other form of ritual impurity other than by contact with a corpse that would render somebody incapable of celebrating the Passover or partaking of the Passover lamb?
All forms of ritual impurity.
Okay.
Yeah, in other words, someone who is ceremonially or ritually impure cannot celebrate Passover. Right? But, right, and by the way, the issue for us is, I don't want to say less important, but frankly, it's less important for us today because there isn't a temple, right? And so the issue of ritual impurity does not affect us today in the way it affected people in biblical times, and because we don't observe Passover in the way it was celebrated biblically. In other words, there are reasons today why a Jewish person would not observe Passover and would elect to observe the Passover a month later, right? But most of the reasons that prohibited or prevented a Jewish people from celebrating Passover biblically don't really apply to us in the same way it applied to people then. Yes.
Okay.
Lindy is saying that in biblical times, you needed to go to the temple. Now, of course, not everybody in the family went to the temple. Usually the man, the father, the head of the family, he's the one that would take the lamb to the temple and have it slaughtered. And, of course, he would need some help schlepping it from the temple to wherever it is that they were celebrating the Seder so they could eat it together, right? But typically the women would not attend that part of the ritual procedure.
So this is going to be reinstituted exactly like it was once the temple is rebuilt, because then our Passover will be celebrated, supposed to be celebrated in the same manner.
So these laws will once again apply to us. Of course, those of us who are either dead in the Messiah or live to see the Messiah come will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. Right? So our role during the millennial kingdom will be different than that of mortal individuals who pass through the time of the Messiah's coming into the millennial reign of the Messiah as mortal beings. Right? At any rate, any other comments, questions? By the way, there is still a second Passover observed today. It comes a month after the biblically mandated celebration on the 15th of Nisan. It falls 1 month later. And Jews who cannot observe Passover for one reason or another observe it when it falls a month later. Still observed today. Okay? Any other comments? Questions? So nice to see everybody. I appreciate everybody participating and contributing. It's a blessing to spend Shabbat with you.
Remind them about Thursday.
By the way, we will be doing the study on Thursday night. Okay? We will be doing the study Thursday night. The bris is Thursday morning at 7 a.m. Thursday morning at 7 a.m. So, it's in Los Angeles. So, there'll be plenty of time, probably, to get back. So, in case it isn't, in case we don't have a study on Thursday night, there'll be information posted about it on the website. Okay? So, look on the upcoming events page on the website. Okay? We'll see what happens. Shabbat Shalom. Nice to see everybody. May the Lord be with you and keep you.